welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California, with Andy Stevens, Owen Main, and Luke Johnson.
Hot stuff.
Chocolate rain.
What's up, everybody? Owen, Andy, and Luke in the house. It is Saturday night, February 4th, 2012. Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast. What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
How we doing this evening?
I am fabulous. Thank you for asking.
Fabulous to quite fabulous.
Started the day in Durango, Colorado. Actually, in New Mexico. Drove to Durango.
Today. You started today in Durango.
Absolutely. Wow. Was up about 3 a.m. Pacific time. So feeling pretty much incredible right now. And
getting ready for next weekend, having to wake up at about the same hour as we head down to our writer/blogger softball tournament.
Absolutely. It's exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's the Left Field Pavilion blog, the LFP.com, and they're putting on a Dodger blogger softball tournament. And certainly when we blog quite a bit about the Dodgers. We're going to start off today with some hot topics.
Hot topics.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hot topics.
First hot topic is that the NFL Hall of Fame class of 2012 was introduced today. The class included Curtis Martin, Chris Dolman, Cortez Kennedy, Willie Rofe, Dermoni Dawson, and a senior selection, which was Jack Butler. So Curtis Martin and a lot of linemen. The notable thing about the selections, and we'll talk about it in a little while, were the people who were left off, the players who are clearly Hall of Fame players who were left off. They included Chris Carter, who's going to be in the Hall of Fame, Tim Brown, Andre Reed, all three receivers.
I think that's of note, definitely, but at the same time, you don't want to downgrade the guys that got in.
Sure, sure, and we'll get into that.
You don't want to cross that line.
And also guys like Aeneas Williams, Kevin Green, and defensive end Charles Haley as well.
And then we will talk about a future Hall of Famer, if I had to guess, Aaron Rodgers. He won the NFL MVP in a landslide. Our reactions to that.
I also have Matthew Stafford winning Comeback Player of the Year, Cam Newton winning Offensive Player of the Year, Von Miller winning Rookie of the Year, Cam Newton and Von Miller, Offense and Defense. So we'll get into that. We also want to move on to another little, I guess you could call, musing of sorts that Owen has for us.
It is kind of a big weekend, guys, for sports fans. It's the final week of the NFL season. It's the Super Bowl tomorrow, and we'll get into our picks and who we think's going to win, Patriots or Giants. Giants are the hot team that everybody seems to be picking. Patriots are the Patriots.
And let's talk about the Lakers Clippers. Hey, we got one team that's got a buttload of championships, one that doesn't.
How much is a buttload?
I don't know, but go ahead and guess that. But there's apparently a lot more 16 on the Lakers side than there is on the Clippers side. The Lakers win their first road game of the not the first of the year, but they do win a road game, which was a big deal. And the Clippers signed Kenyon Martin. Our reactions to that as well.
Reaction. Also, we'll be talking about college hoops. We're getting kind of into the part of the conference season where the cream of the crop is starting to rise, and we see teams like Kentucky. We'll talk a little about Missouri, and of course, our local team here, Cal Poly, which actually is struggling in the Big West Conference. In the meantime, we'll be right back. Fansmanship.com podcast on Fansmanship.com.
What's up, guys? Hey, welcome back to the Fansmanship.com podcast. It is February the, what, is it 4th or 5th, guys? It's the 4th, February the 4th. Wow, time does fly.
Super Bowl Eve.
If you guys haven't noticed, the NFL did select their Hall of Fame inductees for this year. It is Curtis Martin, Chris Dolman, Cortez Kennedy, Willie Rofe.
If you didn't notice, pay better attention.
Dermoni Dawson. And their senior selection was Jack Butler. That kind of cracks me up. Their senior selection was Jack Butler. But hey, you know, we have a couple guys here at fansmanship.com, especially our NFL expertise. That would be Andy Stevens. What are your thoughts on the selections?
I guess I'll be that.
Hey, that is you. Hey, come on out. What are your thoughts on the selections? That they did leave off some big names: Andre Reed, Kevin Green, Charles Haley, and Tim Brown. A few other receivers like Chris Carter.
You know, my thoughts on it are what I touched on in the open. You know, everyone that got in is definitely deserving. However, we shouldn't, I don't think, jump to such a conclusion to where the first topic that is talked about is how there were guys snubbed, and that kind of downplays the careers, because all of these guys are Hall of Famers. Although I kind of questioned Cortez Kennedy a little bit, but at least not getting in so soon. But Curtis Martin was definitely a workhorse for two teams, one that ended up going to the Super Bowl in 1996. Where does he rank all time? I think fourth all time in yardage
in
or something
yards.
Like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But he was kind of the unsung hero. He was kind of the quiet leader, kind of the guy that kind of flew under the radar. And but, you know, his teams were always good teams. He was always an 1,000-yard rusher. Also had Chris Dolman get in. I would have liked to have seen I think Haley could have got in over him because, I mean –
How many?
Five rings.
Five rings for Charles
and
Haley.
Dolman
That's
has
a lot of rings.
He has a few more sacks, Dolman does. But, you know, I think the winner should go in.
Here's Cortez. I just wanted to – you were questioning Cortez Kennedy in his career. Some numbers to keep in mind. As a stopper in the middle of the defensive line, at a time when he came into the league, I believe in 1990 he was drafted – there weren't a lot of kind of middle of the line defensive stoppers. I picture like Bubba Paris, right?
Would you compare him to like Warren Sapp?
Right, he was Warren Sapp kind of before Warren Sapp. He recorded 58 sacks in his career from that middle, you know, interior line position. Three interceptions.
So he was somewhat athletic.
668 tackles. Right, he was one of those guys who kind of changed the way that position was played, and I think that's
okay.
One big reason
now,
why he
if
was.
If you compare him to Sapp now, would you also compare him to a guy like Vince Wilfork?
Well, he laid the groundwork for those guys. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a position that was expected to do that. That was expected to be that kind of a run stopper and be able to do the pass and or
so
stop the pass.
You're saying it was more so him revolutionizing what
that,
the position
that kind of a position about. Yeah, okay. that would be my argument for Cortez, and sorry Luke, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
You know, I mean it seems like Hall of Fame voting has become kind of a joke, in my opinion.
It's like a club, you know?
Chris Carter and Tim Brown are going to be Hall of Famers in a matter of probably a few years, if I had to guess. They are Hall of Famers, we all know that. But It's the way in which these voters go about these things. I mean,
you moron.
Curtis Martin was a great running back. Like you said, Andy, all these guys were great. But it seems like this is some secret club who loves their ambiguous art on the wall, wants to show off how smart they are when it comes to NFL football. When in reality, Chris Carter and Tim Brown were a slam dunk.
Yep. So was Parcells.
And I wrote an article about the Baseball Hall of Fame recently in the last month or two. And about, it's not about you guys, you voters. It's the Hall of Fame isn't about John Clayton. The Hall of Fame isn't about baseball writer guy. The Hall of Fame isn't about
Peter
football.
King. You know?
Yeah, Peter King. Wow. Or
it's like you're just writers. You know, do what's right.
Do what's right.
Not what
you're writers. I like that wordplay. Your writers do what's right.
Do what's right.
Write what's right.
One thing that I said was, if a guy's not a Hall of Famer the first time, what makes him a Hall of Famer the second time? Are you trying
that
to put
he's in line? I
are
guess,
you trying to put him
know,
in different?
There's
like,
a line.
Are you putting a first time Hall of Famer in a different Hall of Fame?
See, that's like, another thing that I heard. They're going to have now a Hall of Fame of the Hall of Fame, like the greatest of the great.
Right?
Like
is
the
that Emmett what they're trying to? Are you trying to rank them?
And that's Jerry been Rice. Been the argument all along. Is you go to the NBA Hall of Fame and they have these levels. They have
like top 50?
They have a level one, level two. You know, you actually go up in levels. It's cool. It's kind of stupid. In my opinion, the Hall of Fame should be a select few. And I'm not saying that these guys are not deserving of it, but Chris Carter, Tim Brown, slam dunks. Bill Parcells, slam dunk. Curtis Martin, they got it right. I think he's a slam dunk. He was quietly consistent.
Oh, absolutely.
There's a lot of people out there who are arguing in favor of a more stringent system when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I mean, these should be guys who are like the upper percentile, not, you know, not the Keyshawn Johnsons of the world or the, right. you know.
And every system's a little different. The NFL system requires a minimum number and at least one
which is four,
and a maximum of seven, yeah. and one guy from the Veterans Committee, mm-hmm. which means that, you know, over a certain number of years since they played. So the NFL has a maximum and a minimum, so somebody has to get in every year. In baseball, that's not the case.
Another thing that I heard, too, is sometimes, and this is maybe the reason why you see some of the guys that got in this year, they generally want to pick just one guy from a particular position, like one wide receiver, so that one doesn't try to steal the other's thunder in
but
a way.
But that's stupid.
You know? Agreed. I'm just telling you what they say.
I'm jumping on that and saying that's stupid.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And I'm in agreement.
So, I mean, what do you guys think about, you know, being the NFL guys here on, you know, at fansmanship.com? What do you guys think about the possibility of maybe like limiting the selections? What if it was
down to three, maybe? Three?
What if it was one or two every year? I mean, talk about these voters having to get serious. They wouldn't be able to hold out on Chris Carter for a few years. It would be, hey, we better get Chris Carter in now because we don't have a few years.
Because he wouldn't give you an interview at some point in time.
No, but I'm saying, you know, they wouldn't have a few years. I mean, they would be looking at these selections and going, hey, you know, maybe Cortez is not a Hall of Famer. He's close to it, but unfortunately he's not a Hall of Famer. I mean, these guys that are sort of on that fringe wouldn't even be considered because these guys have a huge task ahead of them. We have to select one player from the entire pool.
From like 15 or 20.
Yeah.
Yeah, what about Willie Rofe too? He got in, but he deserves it. 16-time.
Rofe and Dawson are a lot like each other in terms of being offensive linemen who were just dominant for a period of time.
Willie Rofe was dominant beyond. I mean, he was like Jonathan Ogden was. He was just.
You think of guys like Jackie Slater, you know, the guy on the Bengals, who I'm blanking, Munoz, guys like that. Luke, I like your idea, but then, you know, just to play devil's advocate here, what happens when you have an era that's so great? You have an era of players that are all amazing and they all play at the exact same time, so they all become eligible at once. Is that guy supposed to be penalized?
Nope. Then here is where this secret club gets off. They still get to have the Colt vote. They still get to have that great era of players that they select. Say there was 25 who are worthy of Hall of Fame induction. They go 1 through 25. So 25 years later, they may be inducting Cortez Kennedy. I mean, you know, he had to wait till the end. It was sort of like a, hey, we're going to hold out on you. You had to wait till the end, Cortez.
And again, the devil's advocate argument would be, don't you want the guy to be inducted while you can still know that he's been inducted, while he's still like mentally there or even alive? Because there's a lot of guys who don't get inducted when, you know, while they're even alive. A lot
wouldn't
of people
you
say
like,
that,
hey, Owen, before you retire or whatever, wouldn't you like your boss to endow you with awards that says, Owen,
you're the greatest Hall of Fame.
You're the greatest professional we've ever had at our business. I mean, that's life for you. You know, these guys have been paid a lot of money.
It's cool when you work for yourself. You can make your own Hall of Fame and just induct
yourself. So Andy every year is the award
winner. Do you win the service award? Yeah,
I win all of them. It's just a landslide.
The manager's award.
It's a landslide. It's 100%
every year.
I want to
read you guys Tim Brown's tweet here that was retweeted by ProFootballTalk.com that I read earlier today, and now it's on Bleacher Report. It says, quote, Raider Nation, don't bother to watch tonight. They passed on me again. In fact, no wide receivers made it again. Gotta get some of y'all in there, unquote.
And so he's and here's the thing. When NFL voters and you said you heard John Clayton talking about it, when NFL voters for the Hall of Fame are thinking about it, they're thinking about Jerry Rice. Of course he got in on the first ballot. But they're leveling it, right? They're making essentially tiers of the Hall of Fame. And if we're gonna have Hall of Fame tiers, I'm all for it. But let's be out front and let's be, you know, if we're gonna do it, we're doing it anyway. That's what they're trying to do anyway. If we're going to do it, let's have different rooms or different Hall of Fames. Let's have first tier, second tier.
But doesn't that water down what it is to be a Hall of Famer?
Totally. Okay. Absolutely.
Then we're all agreeing here that it's kind of a joke.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, it's just that's what happens when you have a certain group of
when you have John Clayton
when
involved
you have a cult,
in something.
They have their own ins and outs. Like I was telling you earlier, you know, one guy thinks something kind of wacky, and the other guys think he's crazy. But by the time the voting process ends, they all go over to that. You know, so
he's done such a good job of persuading.
He
them.
Muddies the water, according to philosophers.
Right, right. Yeah.
Hey, I have a question based on that. Eli Manning is going up for a second Super Bowl. He's thrown for a ton of yards. He's proved himself to be a relatively consistent quarterback.
I'll answer your question. Yes. If he wins, yes, he's a Hall of Famer.
If he wins, he's a Hall of Famer, right?
Mm-hmm. I see where you're going with this.
The question. Okay. He wins. It's his second and his last Super Bowl.
He's a last tier Hall of Famer.
Hypothetically, he's a second time Super Bowl winner. He has a number of good seasons after this, maybe five or eight. More
because
you know,
honestly,
really
he's only had two
seasons.
Good years so far.
Two good years and the Super, you know, including the Super Bowl year.
Well, two hot runs through the playoffs. Yeah. Really,
he really hasn't had a great career if we really look at his numbers.
So let's talk about this. Whatever. Ben has two. Roethlisberger has two.
But Ben's also had consistently great numbers throughout his career.
Okay. And
thank you.
And Eli goes in and wins. You know, a lot more games, gets his team to the playoffs. Maybe doesn't win another one. Between him, Roethlisberger, and Brady,
no question,
they're all Hall of Famers.
I'm going to say that I think Eli's a fringe Hall of Famer. See, because I take the Hall of Fame very seriously.
Here's my question. Brady gets in on the first ballot,
absolutely,
no matter what.
No question.
Right, and the voters
based
will
on
absolutely.
Giselle alone, just the fact that he's married to Giselle, he gets in. Done.
Yeah,
and Giselle's also a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so if you win two Super Bowls,
on what year
is that like?
Here's my question: on what year does Eli and Ben get in? Do they get in on their second year or their third year?
Or do you even consider Ben?
Because in this era of Hall of Fame voting, they're not necessarily getting on the first vote. That's not happening.
Okay, I'm going to throw out a great.
And they're both maybe Hall of Famers.
Hey, Trent Dilfer rode the 2000 Baltimore Ravens to a championship. What if he would have luckily? And this is a fair what if.
He wasn't
people
as bad
go,
as people give him a hard time
what
about.
What ifs, blah, blah,
he
blah.
Wasn't
Come
as
on.
Bad as people give him a hard time about.
This is a fair
about.
What if. Trent Dilfer, what if somehow that defense, he rides that defense again, they win a second one. Is Trent Dilfer a Hall of Famer? Absolutely not.
Probably not. But here's the thing. Trent Dilfer was way better than people gave him credit for.
Now, I'm
I
not
will
comparing,
argue that to
I'm
the
not,
cows
No,
come
he's
home.
Not. But I'm not comparing Dilfer to Eli Manning.
But
Eli Manning is much
State
better
product.
Than Trent
but
Dilfer.
But you would put Roethlisberger correct. Kind of between the two. Like Roethlisberger kind of that first one that he won, their defense was pretty good. Dick LeBeau's a pretty good defensive
The second
coach.
One, he
absolutely.
Carried him, though.
But
the second
I,
one,
but
he carried
I think,
him. Just like Eli, if he wins this one, the second one, he will carry him.
I don't know, because who was it that had the interception return for a touchdown that changed the game? James Harrison? When they beat the Cardinals.
I'm going to disagree with you guys. I think Big Ben, and you guys are going to scoff at this probably, I think he is in the category of like a Tom Brady. And let me tell you why. Because not only has he won two Super Bowls that Owen has said arguably were somewhat on his back. I mean, that last drive to beat the Cardinals was a pretty heroic drive.
It was.
Big Ben can slice you when he needs to.
Oh, yeah.
When he needs
oh, yeah.
to. Now, but what Ben has done is he has revolutionized the position. And we all know that. It's not Michael Vick. It's Ben Roethlisberger. The guy is a huge 265-pound
so trying to bring down a defensive lineman.
Who can run.
Can
who can scramble.
Yeah,
he's very athletic. He can scramble. He's got a great arm. It's not Michael Vick. It's Ben Roethlisberger who revolutionized the quarterbacking position.
Well, and you see this progression that's happened over the years. You had Randall Cunningham who could just run and he was kind of scrawny. You had McNabb who came in. Who could, you know, do both for the first 5 years or so of his career.
Who was a lesser Ben?
He was incredible. No, I would argue that he
was
had,
a lesser
that
Ben.
He was a more dynamic player, but Ben
dynamic,
but
okay.
Ben
yeah. sure.
revolutionized the position in that he figured out a way where you could be athletic and win.
And win.
And,
exactly.
and win a championship.
That's what I'm saying. He won
before him,
and he
revolutionized
the
I guess you could say Elway was that way before him, but
I would say Ben's probably more
Ben's
mobile
bigger, though,
than Elway. He's bigger.
What about the battle tank? Remember him, Jared Lorenzen, that big lefty that
okay,
plays
let's just ignore that.
For UK? He's like 6'2", 305 pounds. Yeah.
Does he have a Super Bowl ring? He might have been Eli's third string.
Can we just move on?
Is he a Hall of Famer? He has a Super Bowl ring.
Let's just move on from
yeah,
that.
Yeah, let's take a break. We'll take a break here at fansmanship.com. We'll get back with Aaron Rodgers winning the NFL MVP and the other awards that were given out here recently. We'll be back.
We'll be back.
Let me guess. You're that Dungeons & Dragons champion whose parents forced into a sport of their choice. If so, then put me in coach, an interactive 4D sport dance workout gaming experience by legendary dance queen Richard Simmons is the perfect thing for you.
Now kick and jump and kick and jump and catch the pass and tackle and shoot and kick and jump and catch the pass. All right, way to go, team.
The fourth dimension is
fabulous.
It will take you from pine sitter to sideline star, two-stepping sideline grooves that will even make the dance team resent you. The king of building self-confidence has joined forces with the legendary pine rider Chutkey Atkins to develop this once-in-a-lifetime program. For a limited time, you'll receive a sweat-stained glitter Simmons wig, flashing clip-on nipple piercing, and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free. This is good while supplies last. To order, log on to www.putmeincoachatrichardsimmonsfabulous4dimensions.com.
If it worked for Tim Tebow, it'll work for you too.
Hi, my name is Chucky Atkins, and I approve this message.
The gods have spoken, decisions made, share with you their finest trade.
What's up, everybody? We're back. Fansmanship.com podcast here on fansmanship.com. As always, the Fansmanship podcast can be found on iTunes for Luke. How much does it cost?
Zero.
Absolutely free.
We will pay you. No, we will pay you if you listen.
Pay you in high fives and smiles.
There you go.
So, gentlemen, last night being Super Bowl week, or was it? It was this evening, actually. Excuse me. They had the Super Bowl awards, and they have kind of a Emmys, little John, Grammys.
Little Johnny from New York is going to bed right now, and his mom, you know, feels like it's Christmas, and his mom's putting him to bed and saying, "Little Johnny, hey, when you wake up in the morning, it's Super Bowl. Hey, Super Bowl Eve. Hey, let's go ahead and do the juju hex over the Patriots right now." And
she does it nice the first time, and then Johnny doesn't go to sleep. And
exactly. Johnny can't go to sleep.
Johnny,
he's
you
got
to get to bed now.
You got to get to bed. We got to
go
see if the Giants.
Go freaking sleep, eh?
We got to see if the Giants are going to win.
Luke, I got to say, that accent might be a cross between
Rocky Balboa.
Maybe like New Orleans, Philadelphia, Boston, and New York. I'm not quite sure.
I don't know what happened there.
That's okay. I won't hold it against you. Right. But... So Aaron Rodgers in a landslide.
48-2. Can you believe that?
I'm still in character. Drew Brees.
3-2-1. Drew.
Drew Brees. Drew Brees. Drew Brees broke that damn record, and he gets two votes? What the hell is up with that?
Yeah. You know, when your team goes 15-1, and when...
lose in the first round.
Yeah.
Okay.
The voting, I think, happens before. Yeah, the voting happens before the playoffs. When you go 15-1, you carve guys up like Aaron Rodgers did. He maybe had like three subpar games all year, I want to say.
No, like one. And he had a 122.5 passer rating, 45 touchdowns to 6 interceptions.
Come on.
68.3% completion percentage.
45-6?
That's a lot of touchdowns. I remember when Favre was running off MVPs one after the other, and he was throwing like 34, 35, 36 touchdowns.
Like 10 to 15 interceptions.
Right, 45, that's just...
To 6.
The game has changed. The game has definitely changed. But, you know, I think that the voters maybe were... You know, Rodgers did so many great things early in the season, and I think Brees kind of came on at the end and ended up setting the record, but I think they kind of already had their minds made up in a sense. That's why it was such a landslide.
And in this era of the NFL where there's so much passing that happens, every team is, you know, pass happy, like we know.
And Drew Brees, sorry just to interrupt, but he had a 110.6 passer rating, 46 touchdowns to 14 interceptions, a 71.2% completion percentage, and 5,476 yards.
Incredible. And so in this league nowadays where passing is something that everybody does, two guys who have equal passing numbers or similar passing numbers, you're going to go with the guy who's winning more. And so, you know, Rodgers.
You had 15-1 against 13-3. Yeah.
Plus, plus the discount double take belt thing is pretty incredible. So, you know, the commercials that he does are solid.
Then, I mean, and then
he's the new. I mean, Peyton Manning, when he was the MVP,
I'm a quarterback.
Had some sweet commercials.
I'm a robot.
And then talk about Talk about a very interesting year. You had Tom Brady, who put up probably his best season of his career.
Oh, you're a dancer? Sorry. Yeah, Tom Brady had a great season.
No, Tom Brady, the great Tom Brady had probably, people say arguably the greatest season of his career.
And nobody's even paying attention because everybody's doing it. Because everybody's doing it. And that's, that's the bottom line. They compare you to your peers, and Rodgers had the same number as his top peers, same numbers with less interceptions, less mistakes, and more wins.
If you just look at the way Rodgers did it, too, Drew Brees is a great passer. He can fit it in some pretty tight windows, but Rodgers has something different about him where he can put the ball on his receivers in certain places.
Scorching hot.
And he just has a way of – they just kind of have this unspoken thing going on between him and the receivers where he can just put the ball where – I remember him – what was the quote? I can't remember. It was something about whenever the defender's back is turned, I'm just going to throw it to a certain spot where my guy knows to be because the other guy's not looking. So I can just throw it right at his head, basically. And it seemed to end up working. So stick with it, right?
Well, yeah. A perfect example was that win over the Giants. We're not talking postseason, right, guys? But the win in the regular season. That was a great game when Eli had that fourth quarter drive to put the Giants up. And it was that experience where, Rodgers was putting the ball in just these, phenomenal, places. They went, 70 yards in, three plays, and they win the game on a field goal. He's that good. But what about this sort of dark horse? I know it sounds funny, but I've heard people talking, or I've heard small murmurings in regards to what I'm going to say. The argument that Peyton Manning is the MVP of the league yet again without even playing a single game because the team, when he plays, is 13-3, 12-4, 14-2, and it's pretty much the same team when Manning's out there, 2-14?
My question is, can you say that it was the same team? I think that it might have been a perfect storm of everybody getting old, everybody getting, them losing some of their key guys. Dallas Clark wasn't the same.
He was hurt.
You could blame it on Orlovsky or on who is it, Kerry Collins.
Their offensive line's falling apart a little bit.
That whole thing is coming apart.
Their linebackers are very weak.
I think Peyton Manning's legacy, for the sake of his legacy, he's got to be. His legacy benefited from him being hurt this year because if he hadn't been hurt, I don't know. I would say that they'd probably have 7-9 wins and it would be their first year under 10 wins in a really long time. That's what I would say.
Okay. But let's go ahead and move topics. We pretty much agree that Aaron Rodgers was a good, MVP candidate.
That's easy.
Peyton Manning was cleared by his doctor to play football next year. What do we think, Owen and then Andy, will he be an Indianapolis Colt next year?
We're here in California, so I think, so many of our friends who are 49er fans are hoping and praying that Alex Smith gets signed to a reasonable deal, a reasonable deal, and that's their kind of backup plan, and they can really go after Peyton Manning.
That's not going to happen.
And knowing that Peyton Manning, from a physical standpoint, may not hold up, they have a guy who took him to the NFC Championship game last year as a...
Niner fans just dreaming.
Can you imagine the discord between Peyton Manning and a guy who just took you to places
Where is this coming from? I haven't even heard this.
To places you haven't been since...
You haven't heard the 49ers as Peyton Manning at all?
No, I haven't. I already had dinner with Larry Fitzgerald and...
did you say I already, or you heard he had?
I've heard the Cardinals. The Cardinals,
and it was funny.
Even though they just
he made a joke. Fitzgerald said when their bill came, he said Fitzgerald got alligator arms. That's very good, receiver. Okay.
Yeah. I used to get blamed for that back in high school.
Catch the ball.
will he be a Colt?
The Cardinals will. Oh, okay. Will he be a Colt? No, I don't think so because I think that the main thing that you have to focus on is you can't pass up a guy like Andrew Luck. The money that he's going to garner based on being the first overall pick, if you keep Peyton Manning, you pay him that, $30 million bonus that he has coming, some roster bonus. So you're paying that. You're paying his salary, and you're paying a number one overall pick just on one spot, or not one spot, but one position. on your roster.
He's not going to be at Indy.
And that doesn't make any feasible sense to spend that much money on two quarterbacks and only one's going to play.
Okay, so I think there's two or three places. Okay. To answer your question, Luke, more seriously, yes, the 49ers, I think, are a dark horse in this one.
Can you
think,
imagine, though, the discord between him and Alex Smith?
No, I think Alex Smith is humble enough. I think he's humble enough because he's not going to get a huge contract even after this year.
But Alex Smith is 29 years old, and Alex Smith is not old.
You talk about Trent Dilfer. Trent Dilfer was better than Alex Smith ever was.
I don't agree. Absolutely, I don't agree.
Trent Dilfer did enough. Agree. Did well, enough. Alex Smith.
I
never
saw
did enough
from Alex Smith.
The book isn't written yet on Alex Smith.
Yeah, and I saw more this year from Alex Smith than I have ever from Trent Dilfer.
I will disagree quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Agree to disagree. But no,
no,
I don't see anything like that working out within.
Okay,
San Francisco.
So Niners, if that
you
doesn't
don't
happen,
do that.
You have the Redskins.
The Redskins.
What, the Redskins yeah. have been people
I've
have heard, been talking about
I've
the Redskins.
The Redskins. What can the Redskins Grossman? Offer?
Let me tell you. Let me tell you. They have Rex Grossman, and they have John Beck. John Beck, right?
You're what not, the heck? Well, okay. Now you're talking about what will the Colts get back in return in a trade? It's not.
Are you talking about a trade? Are you talking about a trade?
It's going to be a pick.
Are you talking about a trade?
Yeah.
You think they're going to be able? Okay, so. I was picturing
but
the Colts
they're
cutting
probably
him.
Release him. Yeah,
I was
okay.
picturing the Colts
they're,
cutting him.
I, yeah, thought, so, I thought that's what
so
you were talking
Peyton's
about.
So Peyton's going to have right. pick of the litter.
Correct.
Think about it.
Correct.
So you're telling me he's Peyton Manning, the competitor.
With Mike Shanahan?
You think Peyton Manning, who's a great competitor, is going to sign with the Redskins?
I think the Redskins aren't as far away as people think they are. They,
now,
they
the
have
Cardinals make
fill.
Sense because Cobb fell apart. They have Larry
well,
Fitzgerald.
They
have
Larry
a decent defense.
But, you know, the Redskins do. I mean, Santana Moss is getting old.
Andy, I'll ask you this question. Quarterback notwithstanding, who has the better other kind of the better bones to their team?
What about the Jets?
The Redskins or the Cardinals?
The Redskins.
What
have
about
better
the
defense?
Jets?
The Redskins are better. Yeah,
the Redskins have a better defense.
White pants. Mark Sanchez may.
White pants wins.
No, I mean that's. I mean,
did you hear what they said to Van Ness? They said he when he tucked in his shirt because he went to the UCLA signing day. They're making fun of him because he's put on a few pounds. And they're calling him Muffin Top. So they called it Muffin
Sanchez?
Top Miraculous. Muffin Top Miraculous.
Wait, his, Sanchez?
No, this guy.
We'll get
that's
back
to side note. Okay.
So, what about the Jets?
I think they've put too much into Sanchez. I think Ryan is attached to Sanchez, and I think if there would be much more discord with Manning, though Sanchez would be a lot more hurt and mental about it if Manning went there than Alex Smith ever would be.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
That would be exploding.
Sanchez doesn't quite have the psyche.
That would be a mess. It would take the Jets 5 years.
His body language is horrible.
Unless they just got rid of Sanchez completely, it would take the Jets 5 years to recover from
and
having
this, I mean,
Manning
this,
on their team.
I mean, to be honest, this is going to be one of the most exciting sweepstakes, I think, in the history of the NFL. Because
totally. There's
think
never
about
been
it.
A
there are
guy
teams,
like this. There's never been
there
a
are teams
like, this.
Like the Atlanta Falcons who are sick of Matty. Ice, although he's never had ice in the
again,
games.
Again, Ryan's too good.
And I compare him to the situation that Alex Smith has. Now he's taking the team to the next level, so you can't just cut that part out of the team.
You wouldn't put Ryan on a next level from Alex Smith?
Based on what Alex Smith has done this
you're
year,
telling me, though, hold on.
I'd probably compare him right next to each other.
Hold
now.
On. You guys are telling me that with the team the Falcons have, Matt Ryan is not the guy. We can agree on that.
No, I disagree.
Okay, well, what do you have to point to?
I think Matt Ryan has
24-2.
I think Matt Ryan is 0-3 in the playoffs, right?
Okay, so you're telling me if you had the opportunity to get Peyton Manning,
then you have to drop Matt Ryan. You have to cut him.
Sure,
you have to cut him. He's not going to be a backup.
So it's already
just like Mark Sanchez.
Okay,
is not
so
be a backup.
It's already a
Alex
risk.
Smith. Alex Smith could be a backup, and that's why I say the
I don't
Niners
think
is
Smith,
not as
I don't think Smith would be open to that. But I want
to
say
his team to the NFC Championship game. He had a game-winning drive.
But hold on, I'm just saying. Okay, so Matt Ryan. Okay, so yeah, so
he's,
I agree.
He's built differently than Ryan.
I agree.
Or Sanchez.
So I agree. You would have to get rid of Matt Ryan. But my point is from a Falcons management perspective, you have on paper you have one of the most phenomenal offenses in football. You then add Peyton Manning. Super Bowl?
And they're in a dome.
And it's a team in the South.
And with a couple I mean, it makes a lot of sense.
And it's very attractive to Peyton Manning, right? I mean, he's got a lot of weapons.
Yeah. He's got Roddy White. He's got Julio Jones.
Gonzalez.
Yeah. Real quick before we go to break, I wanted to announce the other winners.
Who won Rookie of the Year, Andy?
Rookie of the Year, Cam Newton.
That was also a no-brainer.
Cam Newton won Offensive Rookie of the Year, also a no-brainer.
He's going to be a great
Von Miller. Yeah, he will. Von Miller won Defensive Rookie of the Year. Matthew Stafford won Comeback Player of the Year because of
comeback. You know, I like that.
His injury last year.
He also had a great year, and he didn't receive a vote.
Right. All quarterbacks are just putting out these crazy numbers now. You know, it's.
But 2 years ago, I'll just say this: 2 or 3 years ago, Matt Ryan was the Matthew Stafford. Everybody was like, okay, he's going to be really
good. Ryan's never put up numbers like Stafford.
But as far as the hype and what people thought he could do.
But Stafford's actually done it, though. Okay. That's the point.
He made the playoffs and lost. Yeah, Ryan made the playoffs and lost.
I'm just saying you watch.
0-1, 0-3.
I'm saying you watch Stafford throw the football. You watch Ryan throw the football.
Oh, he has more skills as far as athletically, I would say, but
he's bigger, but stronger.
The hype, I agree, the hype is there. Yeah. But I'm saying that I think Stafford has already delivered more than Matt Ryan ever has.
Okay. Wow. And then
okay, let's move on.
Another one.
Obviously, I don't like Matt Ryan. We all know.
Another one that I forgot to mention earlier, Defensive Player of the Year, Terrell Suggs won that. Huh. Yeah, what do you think of that?
What about one of the Giants?
I think that people probably know more than I do. And, you know, Terrell Suggs had had an amazingly solid year.
Didn't Tuck have a huge year for the Giants?
Tuck had a huge year.
I think when I was reading it, it was Suggs barely beat out Jared Allen. Because Jared Allen had like 20-something sacks. He had like 20.
Wow.
I think he had like 20 and a half or something like that.
There's something in the water these days, because not just quarterbacks, these like defensive linemen and linebackers are doing things now that's just...
Well, the game's evolving, I think, and, you know, it's becoming more of an individual type of sport in a lot of ways. Also of note, Matt Burke of Baltimore, he's their center. He won the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which I guess has to do with working in the community and things
like that. A question I always have about offensive linemen, maybe you know it, maybe you don't. Matt Burke, does he have a beard, yes or no?
I'll say yes.
I hope he does, because the lineman has to have a beard.
Have you seen that Steelers defensive lineman?
I haven't, no.
Elodie Nata?
No, the bearded one.
Is it like a dreaded beard?
I'll come back with his name after this break. You're listening to Fansmanship.com podcast.
Can't wait.
If you can.
So what is Fansmanship.com?
Say what?
We're a sports website by the fans, for the fans.
He wants to be a Laker.
For the Central Coast.
Catch the ball.
California.
The sweat-stained Glitter Simmons wig.
And beyond.
Tim Tebow.
We love sports. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
Flashing clip-on nipple piercing and pink or purple tanning thong for absolutely free.
Yeah. Fansmanship.com. By the fans, for the fans.
And we're back on Fansmanship.com.
You know what? We haven't thrown a shout out to Miles in a long time for that.
What's up, Miles?
Music.
How you doing?
LPMD.
Thank you.
What?
LPMD in the house.
And you know, Man, Woman, Wild just stopped its production.
And what channel is that on?
It was on Discovery Channel.
That's right, Discovery. Yeah.
And our boy Miles, you know, was the
guy. He's dropping it for that.
along with the funky beats. Hey, so we're back. You look like you wanted to say something there, Luke.
I wanted to bring up the time when I wanted to bring up the Miles Davis Barry Bonds story, but I don't want to bring up any bad memories.
Okay, yeah, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it another time. So we have a game to play here.
When he tore down all the posters, and then he would just loved Will Clark after that.
Leave it to the lore of
he loved Hacienda Will Clark before that. Hacienda Street.
No, he loved Will before that, but he loved both of them, and then after that experience, it was all about Will.
Yeah, well, Miles was a big Will Clark fan. We were just talking about the Morro Strand Market today, how we'd go up there every day.
Oh, they had the best Spanish rice.
The thing is, I see the hill between Hacienda and going up that hill now, and it looks like not really even a hill. Yeah. When I was a kid and we would ride that big hill
to conquer.
Mount Everest, right?
You'd stop halfway
they
out to
the
take
best
a breather.
Spanish rice. Me and Dane Stevenson used to walk there.
Oh yeah.
And just get their Spanish rice.
Nice.
Mr. Juarez, I remember he sold me my first 6-pack of beer when I was 15 years old, and he said now he said he knew, but he said, "Hey,
are you sure?
Now you be smart about this." And I go, "Okay." And I wanted to trust me, and you know, yeah.
And you were smart about
it. Sure. They were Mickey's.
Mickey's eyes, hell yes.
The, what do they call them? The, what is it? The grenades, I think they call those little, yeah.
I had, I bought my first.
Off topic.
That was when the 1 liter soda started coming out, and yep. And I'm a sugar fiend, so I used to dominate the 1 liters. So we have a game. It's called, and if I had some sweet music or some kind of drop, it's called Name That Mustang. And here's how it works, gentlemen. I'm going to give you guys a name.
And for the and speaking of the Mustangs, let's go ahead. It's the Cal Poly Mustangs.
Correct? Cal Poly Mustangs.
Of San Luis Obispo.
Not the SMU Mustangs.
No, not the SMU Mustangs. And you guys can tell me.
I was Broncos. Preparing for that.
Isn't that the SMU Broncos?
No, Mustangs.
It's the Mustangs.
Boise State or the Broncos.
Thank you.
I'm going to give you a name. Cal Poly just recently had letter of intents signed by football players for next year, recruits, and also for soccer players, men's soccer. And within those letters of intent are some amazing names. And so I'm going to give you guys a name, and you guys are going to tell me whether he's on Cal Poly, and then you can also guess the sport if you think he is. Okay. So are we ready to go?
I'm just shooting in the dark here. This is more of a random.
I didn't even know that we even like learn about who comes to Cal Poly.
Well, you know, something new.
It's like, why do you say, don't look at who they're going to get, and then I'm going to go on the show and ask you which sport. It's like, how do
like,
I know?
Like, do Cal Poly coaches even, like, recruit?
What kind of clue? We need
do
a clue with each name.
Do Cal Poly coaches even? I'm just kidding. I'm just being a smart ass.
Yeah. All right. Are you ready? First name.
I guess.
Jesse Ham.
Like John Ham. John Ham, who's the star. John Ham, who is the star of Mad Men. This is his son, Jesse Ham. So the answer is no.
Actually, the answer is yes. Jesse Ham, he's a soccer player. He is number 148 in the collegesoccernews.com rankings of soccer recruits.
Yeah, Paulie's soccer team is good.
He was selected to the All-Colorado team as a senior in 2011 and a junior in 2010.
What high school?
He's from Denver Christian High School. Oh. So they're recruiting not just locally.
Not Chaparral.
But nationally for the
yeah, good for
men's
them.
Soccer team.
Soccer. So. Good for them.
Good for them.
Arapaho.
Freddie Adu.
Arapaho. Look at you. Look at you getting into some Denver.
I know my little Colorado. I know it.
Denver names.
Freddie Adu.
All right.
Cherry Creek.
Speaking of Freddie Adu, here's another name. Marvin Abu. A-B-O-U.
No, because that's a no, and I'll let Andy say his piece too, but that's also a no because you were thinking of Freddie Adu, and you rhymed Adu with Abu.
Incorrect. Marvin Abu is a 6'4", 250, offensive and defensive lineman from Scripps Ranch High School in San Diego, California. Okay. He was an All-Eastern League defensive lineman as a senior.
Is he any good? I mean,
does he talk like this?
That's what I was picturing.
Marvin Abu.
Yeah.
Slurpees, right?
Raspberry slush puppy on sale, 19 cents this week only.
He didn't play for a very good team down at Scripps Ranch, but...
Okay, so whatever. So
he's a solid baller. All right, here we go. This is one of my favorites. Tell me if I made it up. Name is Joseph, and I'm sure it's not pronounced this way.
Like Joseph?
Okay, Joseph.
J-O-S-E-F.
Gigantino.
Like Joseph.
Gigantino.
Well, obviously you're worried about how you're pronouncing it, so that means that it is actually somebody.
It is indeed, yeah. And with a name like Gigantino, and I think it's probably Gigantino or Gigantino, I don't know. Anyway, he is
Gigantino, huh? Forget about it.
He's a 6'2 linebacker from Bellarmine Prep in San Jose, all Catholic League up in the San Jose area. And so he's coming to Cal Poly next year. All right. Couple other ones here. DJ Facinator.
What the heck, dude?
Okay, fine. Yeah, that one I didn't make up.
Facinator.
I was going to say Fascinator or something.
There
like
you
that.
Go. Yeah. No, that one.
But no. All right, here's
DJ
another
DJ Dumbface. Is that a real person?
DJ Durag. <Yeah.
laughs> How about Josh? Latul Gasanoa. Josh Latul Gasanoa. Latuli Gasanoa.
Sounds like a soccer player.
He sounds like a porn star's kid. The way we do it.
Es mi nombre, Miriana. Sounds like a soccer player.
He's actually a defensive lineman. Pauly signed a lot of offensive and defensive linemen. They're really trying to shore it up. He's actually a younger brother of a player who already plays for Cal Poly. He's from Elk Grove High School in Sacramento. All right, here's another one.
I think I did hear.
Here's another one.
Yeah. From JD.
BJ Nard. BJ.
Yeah, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, a football player.
Because I couldn't make that up.
Right?
BJ Nard. I actually think that you're smart enough to make that up.
Nard is a name. I mean, that's not, I mean, it's a goofy name.
You're smart enough to make that up, Owen.
BJ Nard is a 6'185"
So you weren't smart enough to make
wide receiver defensive back from Frontier High School in Bakersfield.
BJ Nard.
I've heard of that name before, so yeah.
It's just still funny, though.
I'll read you the press about it. Under head coach Rich Cornford at Frontier
Rich
High
Cornfed.
School.
Rich Cornford. Yeah, he's a hell of a kid.
Nard earned all area honors twice. And all Southwest Yosemite League. So he was in the Central Section.
All West Yosemite League. He was also recruited by Army.
Oh, really? So he's kind of an option. Yeah, you think about a guy who was recruited by Army. Cal Poly is essentially Army light.
But isn't Army like 4-8 every year?
They're the 1AA version. Well, they actually traded head coaches with Cal Poly recently.
I remember that.
So there you go.
Okay, good for them.
All right, so here's another one, and I think you guys will know this one. Kevin Porsche.
Yeah, go ahead, Andy.
Kevin Porsche.
Well, yeah, I heard it on Twitter, so I was the only one that coming into this that I actually knew of. So
Kevin Porsche is a versatile football player, according to the press release. He's from Inglewood, Culver City High School.
City of Champions, Inglewood.
And here's another one, Derek Sabo. Yes or no? Derek Sabo.
God, I hate Chris Sabo. Did I ever tell you guys that
Derek
story?
Derek Sabo.
You
just got Derek Sabo'd. Are you going to let yourself get Derek Sabo'd, Luke?
Derek Sabo.
Tick tock.
Owen, how come everyone is? There's only been one that's not a real person so far. So naturally, I'm going to say it's a real person, but I want to feel like it's
the law of averages says that I should guess
that there might be some more that I wrote on here.
It's not.
It's not a real person.
No, because Sabo is just such a generic name. You threw that in there. And like, plus, Chris Sabo, Derek Sabo,
and you just got Chris Sabo. Yeah, actually, Derek Sabo is a 6'2", 270 offensive lineman.
You're supposed to mix this up a little bit, though.
These names are incredible, though, and I have to get through them all in the segment. So
I didn't have time.
I didn't really. When it comes down to it,
Derek Sabo is related to Chris Sabo.
I don't think he is, but
I hope he isn't.
But his coach said he was our only lineman with experience. And he had good skill all year long. He was able to move from guard to tackle.
Blah, blah, blah.
He's from Lakewood, California. So, one more name.
Una más pregunta.
Mamadou Kebe. Mamadou Kebe.
You never could think of that. That's a real person.
Yeah, he's a center back for the soccer team. He's come in. He was the captain of Los Angeles Teacher Prep as a sophomore, and he was in the Chivas USA Academy program as a senior before opting for the LA Galaxy developmental squad. So he's got some experience. He's from Southern California. One thing I always ask, and it's with the soccer team, you know, like Andy said, they're nationally ranked sometimes. You know, UCSB is a really good team who's won a national championship recently, and Poly beats them usually once a year. So when is Cal Poly going to go to a Final Four for soccer? When are they going to kind of take that next step too? Because I think if you're looking at a soccer coach or a soccer program, that's a program that's been, you know, kind of in the works for a while. I think it's more fair to have expectations for them and wonder
if
when
anybody
they're going
to
get
attention to soccer. You know, if that's the whole thing.
Well, like they fill up the stadium once a year at least.
I know, but I would argue to say most people who are going to do a show like this.
What do you mean, most people?
Just like like us three sitting around this table, who are sport lovers enough to gather on our own time around a table and talk sports. How many times have we thrown out the word soccer in our conversations? Like barely.
Yeah, never for me. I don't.
You know, so
I never start that topic, and
I rarely participate
in it.
So you know, but I agree, Owen. Yeah, I mean, there should be expectations there.
Yeah,
if we actually took the time,
I think it's more fair to have expectations for the soccer program at this point than even for like the men's basketball program.
Nope.
level of expectation within as far as the talent level and what they can achieve. Yes.
And how long they've been, should how long their program has been good.
But expectations that should be,
Owen,
no,
do we know anything about,
not.
Do we know anything about what the soccer team has done? Have they gone? I mean, somewhat? No, never.
I don't know if they've ever been in an NCAA tournament.
Really? In their top 25 sometimes? Well, how does it work?
They beat top 25 schools is what I'm saying. They beat
The tournament must be much different, though. Like, it's not...
It's a little different. Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit more wide open as far as who's good out there. There's a lot of good Midwest.
It's not 64.
It's not 64. Like, what's 32? It like in the...
Oh, there's like a... what is it?
Probably
like?
32.
No, because they've been ranked in the top 25 throughout most of a season before. I've seen it happen. So they must have been to the tournament before.
Well, and then they ended up losing... later in the season in the Big West and not making it to the...
Even though they were top 25?
For some of the year, yeah. Because the Big West usually gets, I think, one representative, and UCSB is also very good. And there's a few other squads that are pretty solid out there as well. So
What about the lacrosse team? There should be high expectations for that team. Do we have a lacrosse team?
I don't think so. I think
lacrosse
there's a field hockey.
Lacrosse is a cool sport.
There might
sport,
be a women's
though.
Field hockey team, though. I know there's an actual polo, like not a water polo, but a real polo team.
And you know what's super lame about Cal Poly is the Luke,
the Cal Poly alumni.
We have no like
it's more
actual
than lame, it's super lame.
We have no actual like collegiate swimming team.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Is it just diving?
It's not. No, it's not like.
Is it club?
They have a club. They have a club basically.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. I promise you.
No, there is an NCAA swimming team.
Nope.
We're gonna stop that on this note. We'll be right back, and
we're gonna answer that when we come back.
Super Bowl picks.
That. And Luke, if
let's
you're
get
wrong,
to something that matters
wrong,
here.
Right?
Super Bowl picks,
absolutely.
Lakers,
and I will too.
College hoops.
All right.
We'll be back. Fansmanship.com.
Whoa, wow. Snap it back.
We're back.
You got a good little Pablo Francisco.
If you're dozing on us, that right
we're
there
back.
Will definitely wake you up.
Hey, so talking about Cal Poly, Luke, I think...
I want to clarify, and I'm sorry, that yes, there is a swimming team. I just read that they lost to somebody, I don't remember who, because it's I don't pay attention to the swimming team. But
they had a couple of pretty good swimmers this year,
actually.
They don't
have a water polo team.
They don't have a water.
That's what
it's
I
a club,
was.
It's a club water polo team,
and that's lame. That's fine. Okay.
And I was telling you guys that I actually went to a school that does have a water polo team. That does
water
that was,
polo is like a seriously awesome sport.
I believe.
Well,
the
if
UC,
your nickname's the Tritons, you better have a water polo team.
I believe the UC San Diego water polo team this year was in the Final Four with some of the Pac-10 schools, and they won their conference, I believe, which is the WWPA. The Western Water Polo Association.
Oh, so they have their own singular sport.
They have a conference. They're in their conference are schools like LMU, Loyola Marymount's always that's always the big battle between Loyola Marymount and UCSD. There's also BYU Hawaii. That's a pretty good school in that conference.
I like how you said Hawaii. Say it again.
Hawaii.
Hey, you said it very like native sounding. That was cool.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. And then of course, you know, you have Cal, USC.
He did. He didn't say like just Hawaii. That's why
Hawaii. He's like
Hawaii.
Accentuated that apostrophe at the end there. Hawaii.
Random tidbit before we get to the Super Bowl picks. In water polo, there are three main conferences in the NCAA. There's one on the East Coast that gets one automatic bid. There's the WWPA, which is kind of like the lesser conference on the West Coast that gets one automatic bid. And then there's the one that UCLA, Stanford, Cal, USC, UC Irvine, and Santa Barbara are all in. And that usually gets two bids. Those teams usually have guys who are like on the Olympic team and stuff. So water polo is good times. I covered a lot
Super
of water
Bowl,
polo.
Let's go. It's Super Bowl Eve, and we're talking about water polo.
Super Bowl.
Let's do this.
Little Johnny's still not going to bed yet.
I blame Luke.
His mom's like, go to bed, Johnny. Go back to bed, sweetie.
So picks, reasons why you want to start with the overall impressions of what we think is going to happen and then end with picks?
Yes, Andy, go first.
I will go ahead and go first. I definitely think Tom Brady is out for blood. I think that he during the week he kind of wants to play it off, but deep down inside, he is not happy that Peyton Manning got over on him in the Super Bowl 4 years ago, got over on him again with another late-game touchdown pass this regular season. I think he comes out on fire. I think that New England kind of jumps up to maybe a 7-0 lead early in the first quarter. Then it kind of gets back and forth from there. I think New York does have the advantage, though, in their receivers overall because Gronkowski is in a boot. He has been hurt. He's listed now as questionable, but let's make no mistake about it. He will play, but will he be the same, you know, player that he has been all season? That's, you know, it's tough to say that.
Right, right.
As far as the running game, you would definitely want to pick Jacobs and Bradshaw over Green Ellis and, you know, whoever else, Stephen Ridley, Danny Woodhead. But I think New England's going to utilize those backs a little bit more in the passing game. I think that – and people want to say that the Giants' defense is, you know, so much better than New England's. They're not. New England was – yeah, they were ranked 31st overall, giving up passing yards, but the Giants were ranked 29th themselves, so – you know, both defenses are
bullshit. So you're looking for a game with a lot of points?
I think the over-under is actually set at 38, which I think is pretty low.
Over-under total?
Over-under both teams' total points is
that's
like 38.
Extremely low.
Because there are a lot of people that are picking like 20 to 14 and scores like that. I'm more in the high 20s myself. But anyway.
I think if it's 38, yeah, that's going to be good. Luke, tell me about your impressions about the game.
Huge stat that is telling for me, besides the fact that I assume Giselle's going to be in a string bikini rooting on the Patriots, which does enough for the male ego. Besides that, Tom Brady is out for blood, but mainly the Patriots 31st secondary. We all know that blah, blah, blah. In the red zone, they rank 15th. A la the strip on Lee Evans 2 weeks ago.
They bend, but
to
don't
save
break.
Their butts. They give up a lot of field goals. Not a lot of touchdowns. 24-19 Patriots.
Oh, you're giving me a final, too.
24-19 Patriots.
So Larry Tynes is going to get some
I'm
work.
Just saying that I think the Patriots are going to punch in 7 with little dink-and-dump passes to Hernandez and Welker, the speedy Welker. Why? Because the Giants secondary, like Andy said, is no better than the Patriots. 29-31. Who cares? But they don't have the same poise in the red zone.
Great. Yeah. And as far as my thoughts on the game, I have a few. One, I think everything in this game leans against the Patriots. Leans towards the Giants and against the Patriots. I think you look at skill positions and health, which are two things that are hugely important in a game like this, especially in today's NFL. You know, 10 or 15 years ago, I would say offensive lines matter a lot. I think they matter in terms of protection, but I think skill positions matter more and quarterbacks matter more. And so I think when you talk about health of guys who are receivers, who are running backs, you look at the Giants, and I think everything except maybe the quarterback position really leans towards the Giants. When you talk about receivers, running backs, everything else. I think because of that, and I'll just say it, because of that and because it's the NFL, I'm going to pick the Patriots. Because when everything looks like it's great for one team, it's usually not great for that team. And in a game like this, picking against a team that everybody's picking is usually the way to go. So yeah. I'm going to go ahead and go against the grain and pick the Patriots. One more thing that's of note for people from San Luis Obispo. Of course, Ramsey's Barden is like the 5th wide receiver for the Giants, right?
He didn't get a look in that game that we were talking about last podcast.
The San Francisco game.
He didn't get a look.
But you talk about health and you talk about, the Ramsey's Barden dream would be to be the next David Tyree. And somebody
who's
actually
their 4th receiver? Because you got Manningham, Nix, and Cruz. And then
I think he's another guy with a number in the teens who got drafted this last year, maybe. Right. Barden's number 13, right?
I think so.
Their 4th receiver is number 15, I want to say. That being said, you look at a Hail Mary situation, you look at something random and at the end of the game.
That's where
has
his value.
When Victor Cruz is cramped up or when Hakeem Nix, you know, blows out an ankle or something, you never know what can happen in the Super Bowl. And if Barden's suited up, it'll be interesting for people from around here
there
to see.
There seems to always be that
on
one unsung hero every Super Bowl, right?
And Ramsey is in that
I never knew
place.
Barden was 6'6".
He's a tall
gentleman.
Yeah, he's a tall gentleman. Yeah. And wow. real strong. And I, you know, I've always been surprised. You know, Nick's is like 6'5", too. So he's got a lot of people ahead of him who are very good and a little bit faster than he is. But in the end, you know, in the red zone, not that he's going to be a difference maker, but I think it would be cool right. and something to kind of look out
How
for.
About so this
I'm picking the two, Patriots and yeah. I'm picking them big, like big oh, score, big oh. score, okay. like 35-30 or yeah. like,
oh, wow. High scoring game.
Yeah.
My pick, I forgot to say was 28-24. I have the Pats winning. This little nugget I heard actually on the radio today.
So we're all three taking the Patriots?
All three taking the
Pats. That makes me nervous about my pick now. Because my pick is trying to go against the grain here.
And but we are.
So you don't
we
care
are
who you pick, just as long as it's against the grain.
I know. You're being a little bit too much of like a Vegas numbers player here.
Swimming upstream.
I mean, what do you really... It's sort of like what Dan Patrick asked Adam Sandler yesterday. He Sandler was talking...
Hey, Sandman.
He
what's up, Sandman?
I know. That gets a little old, yeah. But no, but he was asking him and Sandler said, I don't know. And
yeah, I don't know, you know. Anyway, get to what you're saying.
Sandler said, "Well, what do you think, McLovin?" And McLovin was like, "Well, because I'm going to go against the grain." From Rutgers or whatever he's
that's
from.
His whole segment. That's what it's called.
He's anyway. Ivy League guy, Princeton or Harvard.
Maybe. Yeah, but then he goes, "Oh, I'm going to pick the Patriots, like Owen Stad," but then. Patrick goes, well, what do you really think, though? And he goes, well, I really think the Giants are going to win the game.
No, I really think the Patriots are going to win. Yeah. And it's because of, and, you know, this is proven it out. And the Patriots were one of the first teams to actually prove it out. The Rams, when they played the Patriots, and I've said this before, in their first Super Bowl that they played against each other, it was the Rams' second in a row. And the Rams came out super favored. The Patriots were not. And everybody was going with the Rams. And the Patriots came out and whipped him. So, you know, I'm going with the Pats.
Yeah. And I also...
Don't bet against Tom Brady.
The nugget I wanted to add was listening to the radio earlier today, they did have... the Giants, apparently at NewYorkGiants.com, their official NFL website, had up for about an hour and a half to 2 hours actual sales of Super Bowl champion gear up for sale. The hats and clothes.
Bad karma.
Yeah. And, you know, they made a big deal about it on Twitter. And then I guess during the show when I got done with my softball practice, I was listening again. And they said, yeah, they finally took it down. So it was up for like an hour and a half. They realized it was up. And they're like, oh, I mean, that's some good.
What if people bought stuff? I actually saw like 5 or 6 Giants fans in the airport today. And they looked super focused.
Where do these people come from? I'm always tripped out like. I've never seen so many Packers fans. No offense, Andy. I know that you always have been a Packer fan. Mm-hmm. But. When they won the Super Bowl, all of a sudden, everyone is wearing a damn Aaron Rodgers jersey.
That's the way it always is. It's, you know, front runners.
That's just disgusting.
I mean, winners sell, right? So even if you're a fan of nobody, you're a fan of winners. And whoever's winning at the time, there's a lot of fair weather fans that'll eat that stuff up.
But my mommy always told me that I'm a winner no matter, Andy.
Well, your mother was wrong, son. Here's a slice of reality.
Talking about Ramsey's Barden, he said, I can feel it. calling in the air of the night.
I can feel it coming in the air tonight.
He said, the anticipation really? In my chest, the anticipation is crazy in my chest right now. That was 2 hours ago.
That's a little cheesy, but okay.
Yeah, so he quoted,
I'm crazy
he quoted
the in song. The chest.
And I was hoping to get a good...
Crazy in the chest. What does that mean? I'm crazy
my
in the chest.
My chest is insane.
I'm crazy in the chest.
How about... spread, where are you guys going tomorrow? I got a party in AG that I go to every year. Bringing my famous bacon wrapped shrimp.
Yeah.
I'm gonna barbecue that.
Also does that sound good though?
Yeah, it does.
Also doing some tri-tip. It's always the first appetizer gone. And they're done. Everything else is
don't
just
brag or anything. Yeah.
Well,
it's
I'm
always
just saying,
the first appetizer gone.
I'm very proud of my party food. Where
Emerald,
are you guys going?
If you're listening, last year. It's always the first appetizer gone.
Buy my book
for absolutely free. I went to Luke's house last year, and the first appetizer gone, I think, was the chocolate chip cookies, thanks to me, potentially.
Yeah.
You got to bring those? For chocolate chip cookies,
I don't
cookies,
think I'm going
you?
To.
Those had marijuana in them. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. That was that. I went off the deep end right there. I was like, don't do that.
So I'm probably going to go to Luke's house
it's
again.
It's usually peanut M&Ms or... Go first.
I'm gonna take a nice bike ride in the morning. I think to get super pumped. And then I might even ride my bike over to Luke's house.
Really? That's... So you're trying to burn off the calories that you're going to consume
ahead of time.
You're smart.
Yeah.
So are you going to be wearing spandex shorts? So don't do that.
That would be why I wouldn't ride over to your house.
I will not let you in the house.
I might ride by your house earlier, though.
He's
just
all standing there watching
so
the game,
it.
The whole game, and I'm holding the beer and his spandex shorts.
My bike shorts.
Trying to give actually, like serious takes about I could, the game. It's like, no.
The best would be, and maybe we can take a picture of this, Luke. I have a bib that goes all the way over. You know, like, it's like the shorts plus the straps, like, to go over your arms.
Just bring a change of clothes. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, anyway. And obviously, Luke, if I'm going to your house, you're having people over for the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and sometimes being over for the game, the best thing to do is to, you know, the best thing about it in a lot of these Super Bowls is the food and
seeing
the people.
Okay, who are you guys picking for the Bud Bowl?
Who's even playing this year? Is Bud Dry?
Spuds.
Is Bud Dry? Is Bud Dry?
Bud Ice.
Has Bud Dry been retired yet?
I don't know.
Is he still the secret weapon? Yeah. Remember when Bud versus Bud Light and Bud Dry came in? And he was like their secret running back weapon.
That's just some marketing genius right there. I wish I could have come up with something like that. That's really cool.
He blew through the defensive lineman like.
And then Bud Ice comes out.
Brian. Yes, he was so clutch. Remember?
He's
a difference maker.
I think Bud Dry came in 1 year and was a difference maker. And then next year they tried to bring him in again, and Bud Ice, you know, met him at the line of scrimmage, like Ray Lewis style.
What a saga.
Ray Lewis style. Wouldn't it be classic if Ray Lewis got interviewed one of these days? Hey, Ray, hey, you know, it's your, you said that it's your going out party. It's your last season. Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. Hey, you know, who are some of your biggest mentors?
Bud Dry. I'd like to first thank God, and then second on the list is Bud Dry.
After that, pass the ribbon.
That bottle can hit.
Bottle can hit. Yes.
That's why I learned my intensity from Bud Dry.
And of course, the commercials are a good thing, are fun to watch too. So I'll be looking at that.
That is the other part. I completely forgot about that. All the great Super Bowl commercials down through history, just trying to remember.
And finally,
and there's the lingerie bowl at halftime.
Yeah, you know, we ain't gonna.
It's
complain.
Always a winner. And some are tuning in just for that and could care less about the game. Which
and
I
finally
don't
all these finally all these ESPN jokes just shut their mouths and the game's played. We can
Isn't
all agree
that nice?
On that.
Guys, I mean, I've been on the road for the last like week, and I get home back to the home. I call the hotel room home now. I get back to the hotel room.
Poor guy.
And all I see on ESPN is these guys just making up stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
It's pathetic.
I don't care anymore. Yeah. I just want to watch the game.
No, I mean, you guys. Please. I mean, I wake up in the morning. You know, I have to be work at 8. I get up. I want to go to the gym by 6:30. So I'm up fairly early when Mike and Mike's on. Mm-hmm. I turn on Mike and Mike. Now, mm-hmm. I like Mike and Mike for the most part, but they're like everybody else. And for the last 2 weeks, all I have heard is, does Tom Brady, is he beginning to show signs of maybe he's lost his confidence in the big game? And it's like they're trying to drum up the most stupidest stuff. I mean,
yeah,
Tom Brady does not
topics.
Feel jitters. Tom Brady might have an occasionally bad game. Uh-huh. Tom Brady's a winner.
Well,
the guy doesn't, you know.
Well, they're paid to form these
It's
talking
like talk about something
that,
else.
You know,
there's other stuff
there,
going
there
on.
There is other stuff going on. Real stuff about the game itself.
Like Kobe at 34 dropping 30 a night.
Yeah,
that's kind of a cool
something
thing.
Like that.
Right?
What was it? Go ahead, Owen.
No, or Kenyon Martin signing with the Clippers. I mean.
Well, I don't know about that.
He's going to destroy that team, just so you guys
Did
know.
You see that? Speaking of, and there hasn't been like a, I can't remember her name, but the crazy South American reporter that was, Tom, let me marry you, Tom, I'll be your wife.
Like that woman from Modern Family?
Just completely just not even part, I mean, she shouldn't even be there. How she got a credentials beyond me, but did you see the tweet I threw out? Someone took a picture of Vic the Brick interviewing someone, and he goes, and he had his hat, you know,
my
and
dragon.
He goes, I didn't know they were giving out, what was it? Credentials to Fox Sports Siberia because he has this big crazy looking hat.
Come on now.
And it's just freaks like that.
Come
you know?
On now.
I mean, they all come out. All the freaks come out for the Super Bowl. So at
Absolutely.
Any rate.
Yeah, we'll, Luke?
Yo.
Been fun?
It's been fun.
Big day tomorrow.
Big Huge. Day.
Lots of friends.
Biggest, most luxurious.
Lots of food. Yeah. Stay drunk, stay full, stay happy.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend. Happy Super Bowl.
Enjoy.
And,
Super Bowl.
We'll catch you next time, fansmanship.com podcast.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to the Fansmanship.com podcast. For more news, opinions, and podcasts, go to www.fansmanship.com. Catch the ball. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Front page of the news.